Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here and raring to go. We've got a great show. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
Hello, Carol. Move closer to your speaker. I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit.
Okay, turn up your volume on your
Okay, I'll do both. Okay. So, what was I going to say? So today, we're continuing a series we started. We're talking about immunity and how hormones affect our immunity. And so I wanted to read this to you because when I started research on this, this was the first statement that came up. And it's during periods of increased stress, the immune cells are being bathed in molecules which are essentially telling them to stop fighting. According to Dr. Esther Sternberg, these molecules, namely cortisol, suppress the immune system and inflammatory pathways, rendering the body more susceptible to disease. Now, I found that very interesting because that's only one little part of the story. And today we're going to be discussing how we can use cortisol and adrenaline, both secreted from the adrenal gland, to support our immune system, how we can control cortisol and adrenaline in our lives that supports our immune system, supports our thyroid, maintains our body in diurnal or circadian rhythm that supports our immune system, and how this all comes about. Is that a lot, Carol? And one last... Two things, and then I'll pass it to you, Carol. First of all, we're going to take calls from you because we want to speak with you and discuss how you in your home can do it better or what suggestions you might have. And I'm going to give you the number right now. Please write it down. I'll call it out later in the show also. 212-209-2877. But before we even do that, I'm going to say, you know, we know many of you take time and literally plan to listen to our show weekly. We hear from you. You write to us. You respond on the radio. And we know it exists. And what we're going to ask you to do, since you already are our companion, our buddy, our supporters, we're going to ask you to call in and become a WBAI buddy. This program is made available to you by WBAI, which was one of the first stations, literally in the country, to have holistic health information on. So we're going to ask you to maintain or to assist WBAI to continue this programming, continue all levels of their programming, and by becoming a buddy. And what that entails is a small donation monthly. It can be $10, which we would appreciate. It could be $20. What I would like you to do, and this is what I recommend, is you add up the amount of money that you spend on coffee a month and donate to that to WBAI. Look at how much you get back. It's priceless. So the number to call to become a buddy is 212-209-2950. And or you can go on the website and go give to the number two, WBAI.org, and go to pledges and go to a buddy, and they will, it'll be minutes or actually a minute, and you can sign up to become a buddy and support WBAI. So, Carol, let's get back to cortisol.
Okay, so cortisol is really a fun hormone, and it's also known as hydrocortisone. You might see cortisol on a test, you might see hydrocortisone someplace else. They're one and the same molecule, and it's an important adrenal hormone. In fact, it's the only hormone in your whole body that's absolutely essential to life. If you don't have it, you're dead. And I'm getting these statistics from Dr. Terry Hertog, gave a great presentation at the A4M meeting, American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, in 2022 in December. And the title was Cortisol as an Anti-Aging Hormone. Now, you already alluded to this situation when you have too much cortisol, being contradictory to essentials for life. But he said one of the things that happens, which I thought was really fascinating, is that as we age, our secretion of cortisol drops, and even worse, our receptors become less numerous. So even though on a test we might have some cortisol floating around, it doesn't mean that we have enough cortisol. So the tests are not that accurate in older people, and we are actually getting low as we age. What do you think of that?
Well, it sounds pretty common because, you know, we have to understand why cortisol is so important to our immune system. And what there is a difference. Cortisol is released in chronic stress. And in chronic stress, it can be quite suppressive to our immune system, to our body, to our ability to heal ourselves. But in spurts, the way it's supposed to be released, what ends up happening is that it's very supportive of our immune system. There are multiple studies about that. So we'll just dive into one of them right now. It's a Swedish study with a large number of participants, and they gave the people injections of E. coli. And then they had them surge their cortisol by, in this case, heavy breathing for 20 minutes and then stop and then do it again. And that's very almost like Kundalini breathing, where you're breathing hard and fast, in and out, and then you exhale and hold, and then you do it again for a period of time. And the end result is that the effects of this bug were highly attenuated. The nausea, the vomiting, the fevers were in many of the people non-detectable, whereas in those that had no increase in cortisol, they found that they went through the entire and full illness. Sounds like a heavy-duty study, but it is real. And what we know is that cortisol, yes, it can be very suppressive, but it can be very supportive. And what we can, and it's based on a circadian rhythm and how it's released, and we can control that. Carol?
Okay, so I'd like to start with what cortisol actually does. And one of the things it does is raise our blood sugar. And that gives us energy compared to, say, a chronic fatigue syndrome person. They have no energy. They also have very low cortisol, by the way. And it also can increase your blood pressure to a more blood, more normal blood pressure. But how it works with the immune system, it is essential. Inside our white blood cells, we need that blood glucose to work. And so cortisol at a normal level, and even slightly above for emergencies, will bring that sugar into those cells so they can work. So cortisol, if it's in good amounts, it decreases allergies, it decreases all kinds of inflammation like C-reactive protein. So Dr. Hertog says if you are a chronically low cortisol person, you're thin and frail, if you've got enough, you're normal size, and if you have too much, your body sort of swells up from fluid retention.
Yes, what we see that all the time. Hertogger is he's from the Belgium.
Belgium,
and he is very focused on observation. And you literally, there are different body types, and you literally can see a low or low, and particularly more obvious, an elevated cortisol person because they have a very large bloated belly. They generally have very slim legs and arms and very low muscle fiber. They're not that strong. So we see that in people all the time. How many times have you in the audience been walking down the street and been aware of this fact with these with people that their adrenals aren't working or functioning correctly? And so when we're dealing with cortisol, we have to understand that it's released on a timetable. It's got a circadian rhythm, and it's highest in the morning. But what stimulates it to its peak optimal range in the morning? It's sunlight. Sunlight in the eye, or daylight, or light. It doesn't have to be a bright sun. In the winter, it's more of a cloudy sun, but it's light. And that allows the body to stimulate the release of cortisol. And guess what happens when cortisol is released at a high normal level? At a high normal level, what happens is that stimulates the thyroid, because the thyroid is also based on a circadian rhythm, and it has a timing. And thyroid is high in the morning and cortisol is high in the morning. And mid-afternoon, it starts lowering. And at night, it goes down so that we can sleep, so that we can go into a deep, calm sleep. But the trigger, and that's why I've always said that thyroid and adrenals are like a teeter-totter. They balance each other. When one is too high, it creates suppression in the other. Or when it's too low, the other has to rise up to carry the load for both organs. And what you really want is something in the middle there where they balance each other and they turn on good and strong in the morning, both of them. So you wake up ready to face the day, bright and alert, after a good sleep. And you have a good sleep when your cortisol is down throughout the night and when your thyroid is down throughout the night. Carol?
Well, cortisol affects your personality.
Oh.
So if you don't have enough, you're always negative, doom and gloom, you're apathetic, you're paranoid, you're quarrelsome, you feel you're having a miserable life, you're always irritable. Dr. Hertog says if you run into a person like this, run away. He said, unless you can get them to open their mouth and you can throw in a cortisol tablet. So.
That's one side. The other side is get them to get up early and look at the sunshine. Look at the sunshine. And or, you know, a little bit of coffee isn't such a bad thing. Large amounts throughout the day just to maintain are not the best idea, but a little bit of coffee can be very beneficial, or a caffeine tea can be very beneficial, but not immediately when you wake up, because if you, you know, the first thing you do when you wake up, you don't, you're in a dark room, you drink your coffee, you're going to interfere with your cortisol and thyroid release. What you do is you wake up, you get your eyes accustomed to the outdoor light, you wait an hour or two, and then you have your first cup of coffee and you enjoy it, or your only cup of coffee and you enjoy it. And therefore you have set your day for a higher energy and higher focus day. What you know, what we know about cortisol, cortisol is the hormone of focus. Cortisol supports our memory. If we go into a test, we're taking a test at the, or we're going to a lecture, 90-minute lecture. At the end of that lecture, if we take a half a cup of coffee, or if we do heavy breathing, we will stimulate and build up our cortisol level, and the end result is that we'll have a higher memory in relationship to what we've just been hearing. Cortisol and adrenaline, both of those are adrenal hormones, are the hormones of energy, of focus, of memory, but they also support our immune system. When they're not in excess, when they're in excess, they do not, they suppress. And when they're too low, they do not support our immune system. Our immune system has no strength, no vibrance to begin the resistance. Carol?
Well, another thing, you were talking about having the cortisol spike in the morning. There's some testing. Usually saliva, or you can do a 24-hour urine, but then you don't see the diurnal pattern. If you test at like four specific spots or five specific spots throughout the day, you can see the rhythm of the cortisol. And if your cortisol happens to be very flat in the saliva test, it means you have high risk of all kinds of things, all kinds of inflammatory diseases, cancer, depression, fatigue. So that's a serious marker for something going wrong in your life. A 24-hour urine collection, you can also do this test, and it collects information on how much cortisol, and then cortisol has a number of metabolites. Although the tests aren't reported, I've read that at least 20 metabolites of cortisol exists, and this exists kind of like a storage form for your adrenal glands as the metabolites. Cortisol goes up and down pretty rapidly to address the stress. The metabolites are not so volatile, and they, if they're in adequate amounts, there's a reservoir there. So we do have an adrenal reservoir. I'd like to talk about another kind of cool thing. Her talk brought up was spiritual effects of cortisol. And I've heard this argument before, like, can you be spiritual and correct the biochemical, or does your body and physiology have to be in a good place to be spiritual? And according to her talk, if you don't have adequate cortisol, you can't be in the moment, you can't have love, you can't have joy. So it's a joy hormone. It's quite intriguing. So I've always thought that once I did a test to test my heart rate variability, and this was after 3 cups of coffee, I was very stimulant. That means adrenaline was probably high and taking cortisol with it. And so I had too much. And I said, what do I do about this? Do I meditate? And the guy says, no, you can't meditate. You're too stressed.
So
and he's right.
So everything is a balance. It really is a balance. But the best test that I found for cortisol, and you've heard us speak about testing before, and neither of us are too enamored with saliva testing, but with cortisol, there is a very high amount of accuracy with a saliva test. And then when you're doing a saliva test of cortisol, you can check not only the amount, but you can check it throughout the day, when it's supposed to rise, when it's supposed to drop. If it's gone down at night, I've had someone who had a normal cortisol level overall in terms of volume who had all their cortisol at night and they were surging. In the morning, it was way down. So what you need to do, what we need to do, if that's what we're evaluating, we need to look at it at certain times of the day. So within those certain times of the day, we can understand how the body is responding and how it's responding to the stress of the day also. So I want to open this up again to the audience, to the listener, 212-209-2877. That's a number to call in, and you can speak with us and ask us questions. But then I also want to say, you know we have buddies or companions or very loyal. We have a very loyal listener group that I've been told they set their timer in the middle of the day so they can listen to this program. Well, I'm going to ask you to call in. I'm going to ask all of you, but I'm specifically asking our listeners to call in and to become a buddy. And a buddy means that you give money throughout the day, throughout the once a month, and I'm sorry, once a month, and then the end result is that it's very painless and it really assists us and our ability to maintain the station. I mean, there's nothing better than knowing that our bills are going to be able to be paid throughout the months when you have a regular amount of money coming in. And you can do that by calling 212-209-2950 and or go to give2wbai.org. We know that this station is precious. We know that. That's why we're here. And we know you know it. That's why you're listening. So support this station. Become our buddy. You already are. Let's make it official. With a WBAI tote bag, it will become official. It's like a ring. 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org. So, Carol, tell us a little bit.
I have some physical signs that you can look for if you are low cortisol. One of them is a lack of appetite, and that goes along with a fragile body. You can have lots of nausea coming up. But one of the things that happens is the pituitary hormone, ACTH. This is adrenal corticotropin hormone. It's the signal for your body to make more cortisol. And if this is happening to go up because there is low cortisol, there's pigmentation involved. And it can cause dark circles around the eyes, it can cause increased age spots. And in the palm of your hand, in the creases, you can get coloration. And in back of the knee, you can see these lines.
There's another thing with irregular or elevated cortisol. You can have premature graying of hair because it stimulates a release. It stimulates a release of a hydrogen peroxide release in the follicle of the hair. So the hair has a premature graying that happens when the cortisol is maintained abnormally high. Just like with everything, you don't want it too high, you don't want it too low. You want it right in the, throughout the day, it's different, but you want it right in the middle, and your body functions better midline with cortisol, with adrenaline. Both of those are released from the adrenal glands. Carol?
I'd like to talk about the flu for a moment.
Oh, yes.
This is really important, and I can't remember when I first heard it, but it absolutely works. I've used it personally several times. And hydrocortisone, as I mentioned, is the same thing as cortisol, as we've been talking about. So if you go to your pharmacy, you can find hydrocortisone 1% creams all over the place. They can be in the foot section, the
They're
skin
called
section, what have
anti-itch creams.
you. What's that?
They're called anti-itch creams
Yeah,
sometimes.
they certainly are, because there's an antihistamine component. And that hydrocortisone cream is adequate enough to help you with the aches and pains of the flu. If you want to picture what people with chronic fatigue feel like, that achiness that you get with your joints and your muscles that you associate with the flu is when your cortisol is in the pits. And if you just use some cortisol, that can resolve in a very short time, probably 20 minutes, half an hour. And I usually say use at least a teaspoon the first time. And it can be a dramatic change to your misery. We do have a caller holding.
Terrific. Hi, you're live on BAI. Can I,
Yes. Yes,
what
good
can we help you
afternoon.
with?
Good afternoon. I have one question regarding cortisol, and then, if I may, another question not involving cortisol. The first question is, have you heard that excess cortisol can cause lipoma?
Well, it causes abnormal fat accumulations.
Yes.
But yes, but I'm not aware directly of a lipoma. A lipoma is like a bulge in one area.
Yes.
It looks almost like a cyst or something like that. I'm not aware of that. But I know that the relationship of cortisol and fats are very unique, and they can, and it does cause abnormal accumulations of fat. And it responds because fat is very active, and it stimulates cortisol also. So you have this combination of the two. So, but I'm not aware of lipoma directly. Carol, are you?
I did some research on this a bit. My dad was a margarine eater, and he had numerous lipomas. And it is a technique your body uses to sequester fats that you can't break down and use. And there was a paper by a guy named Walter Last, L-A-S-T, and he writes about resolving lipomas with especially large levels of the enzyme lipase to break down the fats. Whether this works or not, I don't know.
I've always understood that lipomas very often happen in areas where that have had trauma. So if you've been injured and you have irregular fat accumulations in the body, or you're not processing your fat, you can create lipomas. But I'm not aware of anything else. Your next question, you had another question?
Yes. Unfortunately, I have had chronic fatigue syndrome for 40 years now, and I haven't been able to work because I haven't had enough energy. And do you happen to have any information on things that you have heard actually can help people that have chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, you know, there are protocols, but there's a few questions. Do you sleep at night? Are you able to sleep?
Yes, but not always very well. It's like interrupted.
So, you know, what some of the things that we've been speaking about are very directly related to you in terms of what you need is that early morning surge of cortisol. And like I said, you can get it through sunlight, through light into your eyes directly. Some people are even using flashlights, which is a lower level of light, but you don't want to hurt your eyes and look up into the sun, but you want your eyes to be stimulated by the sunlight, which helps surge the cortisol first thing in the morning. So you want to look at your cortisol release in the morning. There are a few things that were standard with chronic fatigue patients. One of it was hydrocortisone, and you take it throughout the day. You take a larger dose in the morning and a medium dose in the midday and a very low dose in the early evening. But then, interesting enough, you take a very low dose right before bed, and that little bit of hydrocortisone allows you to sleep better and deeper. Also melatonin before bed, with the two together. But then there is something that another thing that was given to chronic fatigue patients were salt tablets, so that you can build up your blood pressure, because generally chronic fatigue patients have very low blood pressure. And there's something else, is a natural licorice taken throughout the day can be very beneficial. It supports the adrenals, and adequate fluids, but not just water, water, water. That doesn't strengthen you. You need fluids with electrolytes. And we'll see how you do. Hello?
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate your suggestions.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay.
And good luck. Carol? Okay, do we have anybody else?
No.
No, okay. So let's continue about talking about cortisol. So what happens is that cortisol, as I said before, is a double-edged sword. It can be a very powerful immune support hormone, or it can be immunosuppressive. When it's in the state of immune support, it stimulates, it acts, one piece of it is adrenaline, And the adrenaline from the brain signals the organs to stimulate the release of white blood cells. And it tells the white blood cells, it helps the white blood cells to recognize the invader, the antigen, the virus, the bacteria. And with these activated white blood cells that are very directly activated or stimulated by cortisol or adrenaline, your body is then able to fight off invaders in a much more effective way. So what we have...
Well, I wanted to add a little bit to that last caller, if I could. The protocol that you mentioned was established by Dr. William Jeffries, and he wrote a book called Safe Use of Cortisol. And this book was revolutionary in my mind. I'm sure you were taught this way, Corinne. I was taught this way, that there's so many side effects when you use steroids, such as prednisone, which
very scary.
Cortisol, yeah, it's very scary. If you had the list of side effects, it was as long as your arm. And this doctor went out and looked at the opposite. When you're too low, you have all these symptoms, and you really ought to use the right hormone instead of these altered hormones. So what I want to point out, I got a figure from Dr. Hertog. For this gentleman with the chronic fatigue, on average, chronic fatigue patients have 57% less cortisol than a healthy, normal person. So,
interesting.
This is a protocol that should be looked into. In fact, I would recommend checking all your hormones if you have chronic fatigue, because, Corinne, you mentioned this before, there may be a thyroid component in here. Insulin, glucose could be a player. The whole work should be checked.
Blood sugar can lower, imbalanced blood sugar can lower your energy, because adrenaline is the opposite of insulin, and it blocks our body's insulin levels. So when you have this weak adrenal gland, that 40 years, that's not just an illness that's acute that came on and you're working on. No, that's 40 years is a very long time with very low energy. And I would also, you know what I would also do? I'd look at dopamine. Where does adrenaline is part of it in the adrenaline or the epinephrine is made from dopamine. So that's why when the adrenaline is balanced in the brain, people feel a little more alert. They feel a little happier. They feel more in their body. They feel a little sexier. And when...
Oh, and all the way to manic.
In excess, yes, to manic. Yeah. In excess. And that's the thing. It's a double-sided coin. As we started out, we began with the fact that it's double-sided, that it could be very suppressive, not having a functioning, well-functioning adrenal gland, or when you said something that or an excess, over-excited adrenal gland. You said something in the beginning, you said receptor sites, that the receptor sites become weaker. So when we look at receptor sites and weakness of receptor sites, we want to really look at cleansing. We want to look at heavy metals. We want to look at adequate essential fatty acids that allows our hormones to attach to our cells. We want to, so, you know, it would be a very important piece to look at that. Now, this gentleman here that called us just a minute ago, a strong detox would not be the way I would go with him. He's too fatigued to go into such a stressful, push himself into such a stressful situation. He needs guidance and direction and a very gentle but cleansing way of eating that draws toxins out of his body slowly. And that might allow his adrenals to, and the adrenal hormone to reach the receptors, and he can then feel what is being released by the adrenals. Carol?
Yeah, it's so, so interesting. So Dr. Hertog said, what causes low cortisol? And he said GI diseases of all sorts cause low cortisol. Major stresses, and this can be mental, emotional, or physical. Something as simple as pregnancy can cause a major stress that turns down your cortisol output. And then low blood sugar. Back to the insulin glucose thing, having low blood sugar could be impacting your ability to make cortisol.
So what we really want to do is we want to look at, and, you know, we cannot forget, I think there are some amazing protocols for our immune system that have to do with nebulizers and iodine and hydrogen peroxide and vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc and selenium, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we can't forget our hormones, because all of those nutrients and all of those methods are so fabulous. But if they don't have something to hold on to, if they don't have a strong body underneath, that they become useless. It's like when I was, years ago, when we were dealing with AIDS, when it first was discovered, you could give an AIDS patient antibiotic after antibiotic, but they didn't have enough of their immune system left to be able to work with the antibiotics. It's not one or the other. It's the interplay. Well, the same thing with all these other nutrients that we want you to take, because they assist your immune system. They're essential to take, but the base and the ability for the body to uptake them and utilize them is based on hormone balance. And I can't repeat that enough. I think I'll say it twice. Hormone balance is really the base of our immune system. Carol?
A couple other things. I've forgotten the name of the doctor, but he introduced hydrocortisone in the treatment of sepsis in the hospital. And sepsis has a pretty high mortality rate. That's when infection gets throughout your bloodstream. And they really have trouble controlling it with antibiotics also. Anyway, he developed a protocol that included hydrocortisone, and in his hospital drove down the rate of mortality dramatically, like maybe 20-30%. And who was that one doctor who had the limp and the pain medicine addiction on TV? Do you remember his
name? I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
So very, very famous, and he was kind of a rude guy. I watched one episode, turned me off the show, because they had this patient who was like comatose and non-responsive. And they got together, their little medical committees, and they're doing all kinds of things, including brain surgery and whatnot, to this poor guy in the coma. And then suddenly, somebody thought to use hydrocortisone. The guy at this point is unconscious in a wheelchair, and they give him an injection of hydrocortisone, and the guy springs back to life.
Oh.
It made me so upset with this program, actually, that I was saying, with all this brainiac stuff going on in this show, why wouldn't you check hormones like before you cut into somebody's brain?
So sometimes we forget that that hormones are the base, but in your home you can utilize adrenaline, like Carol said, or hydrocortisone, to build your immune system, to strengthen your immune system, and to support you through an illness. Because as Carol said, but also as I observed in my own home, is when my son was ill with the flu and he's sitting there going, oh, you know, the way people get when they're flu-y and every inch of their body hurts. So I ran up and I got hydrocortisone and I rubbed his feet with hydrocortisone. And within 45 minutes, he's awake, he's hungry, his eyes are clear. Now, he wasn't healed. He wasn't healed, but he wasn't moaning. And then I did it again later that day, and then we got him a good, good sleep. And we ended up over the hump. We moved to the other side. You know, you can see when kids or people are getting worse, and you can see, although they still have similar symptoms, they're getting better. You can see it in their skin. You can see it in their eyes. Well, the next morning, he was on his way to getting better. And you know how kids are. By the next day, I couldn't get him to stay still and stay in bed. That's how we can, that's one way we can utilize this, what we're talking about in our homes and to support our immune system. Another way is when we wake up, within an hour, get our faces exposed to sunlight. You might end up surprised at how much better you feel. And that's a little trick that can really work also. Carol?
I was surprised to hear what you said about heavy panting too. At any rate, there has been at least one study, which I did see, and I wish I had my hands on it, with this whole COVID and vax issue. They found that one commonality in these patients of all sorts was low cortisol. So it's a real, real strong indicator for that could be very helpful for anybody suffering and should be used.
So I want to remind the listener and that WBAI deserves and needs your support. So I would really appreciate, WBAI would really appreciate you calling in, becoming one of our buddies. You already are. You're already a buddy. You're already a companion. You're already a regular listener. Let's make it official. Give a call in and you donate money and it comes right out of your account. You can stop it at any time. It can be $5, $10, $20. It can be $50 a month. Whatever you can afford, whatever is comfortable for you and doesn't put stress on you. I know that I can't take a large chunk of money right now and give it, but I can give $10 a month. I can give $20 a month, and I wouldn't really even notice it coming out of my account. And I know many of you are in that same position. So please call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And or go on the website or go on the internet and type in give to the number 2 WBAI.org gift, and then you will go right to the page that says buddies, and you can then donate on a regular basis and support WBAI. We deserve it. We've done this for years and all without compensation, but that's not really true. Our compensation is the feedback we get from you. That we get an email from you telling us how much the show has helped you or how much you like the show. I call Carol. Carol calls me. We're happy all day. That's what we call compensation.
Yes. Yes.
We're very proud of the fact that we're able to communicate directly with you, directly with our friends, our neighbors, and share life-saving information or information that can change your life and make your family and yourself just healthier and more able to cope and deal with life stresses. So give a call or go onto the internet and type in give to WBAI, or you could go .org, or you could go directly to WBAI.org and go to donations, and you'll go right to the page. And it's very easy. It'll take a minute, maybe two, and you could set up a program where you give $10 a month, $20 a month. There's very few of us that cannot afford that, and it will make such a difference to WBAI. We're not asking you to support the whole station. We're asking all of you to support the whole station, the station, by little bits, and little bits. So, Carol, we're coming to the end of the program. I want to thank the listeners. Do you have something you want to leave with the listeners?
I just want to say, hydrocortisone, that little cream in the pharmacy should be in everybody's home, and it can be an amazing therapy when you're feeling achy and flu-like and particularly fatigued. It can make all the difference in the world. And I think it's an important part of what we're talking about, taking charge of our own health. We need to do it for one thing, but we need to have the information and know what we should do. And so have it there. You start feeling like that. Remember it's there in your medicine cabinet and use it.
Thank you, Carol. It's always a pleasure. Every time we're together, I learn. And I want to thank the listeners, because it's always a pleasure, particularly when you call in and you share with us your questions or medical problems that you want to understand better. So thank you so much, and we will be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
I'm Max Brindle with these headlines. Secretary of State.